But speaking of great artists and bringing things up to date, we've got an artist here that has a new CD out, and they're a relatively new band. I like to call them millennials. I don't know if that's offensive to them or not. We're going to find out. I've got Ryan Steinberg and Justin King of the band Open Your Eyes. They just played in the Lakeshore Public Media tent as the last band of the Lake County Fair. Guys, are you millennials? I mean, is that an offensive term to you guys?
We're hybrids, man. I was born in the 90s. I'm a 1990 guy, so I was born in 90, and I really feel the roots of the 90s in my life and in my blood.
Is that like the grunge stuff?
Yes.
Is that your bedrock?
Yeah, man. I grew up listening to like Natalie Merchant. You know, my mom was mm-hmm. really big into that, and Nirvana was huge for me. So yeah, I like grunge. I love grunge for okay. sure.
I don't hear it in your style. So
no.
Much.
No,
I hear a little bit, maybe a little Soundgarden-ish.
Yeah, Soundgarden for sure. I love to. I've seen them live. We opened for Cornell when I was 17 at the Rave in Milwaukee once.
Wow,
that was fun.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, it's definitely in my blood. I mean, and I think everyone in our band likes the '90s to some degree, like mm-hmm. pretty huge degree. I think we're all definitely fans
yep.
for sure.
Now you're into classic rock too.
Oh, huge! That's my mecca right there.
Because yeah. you can hear a lot of classic rock in your style, in your vocalizing, as well as your guitar playing, and
right.
even in the melodies and mm-hmm. the rhythms that you guys have.
Yeah,
Tell us a little about Open Your Eyes. I mean, you guys started out as a high school band, as The Breed.
We did, yeah.
I remember you were on my old radio show, you played right. the fair for us, and you were all still basically school kids.
Basically. I mean, it was, what were we, 15, 16 when me yeah. and Kamran met, and I'm 26 now, so it's been a good 10 years with him, and yeah, we both bonded over Ozzy. We had like a huge love of Black Sabbath.
we bonded over Ozzy. Yeah, we both got on that crazy train together.
Yeah, well, it's hard to find, especially in my age, people who even knew who Randy Rhoads was, let mm-hmm. alone, you know, Ozzy's music. And Ozzy was just kind of a TV star in my generation growing up. He was on the Osbournes, and that was more prevalent than his music at the time for young kids.
That's kind of sad.
It was really sad because I actually found, I was like, Ozzy, he seems so weird. And I even remember going into and looking up his band, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, who's this band, Black Sabbath? And fell absolutely instantly in love. And then me and Kamran, after we met, that was probably one of the biggest things we bonded over was our love of Black Sabbath.
You know, it's interesting because we just had a member of Jethro Tull on the show, mm-hmm. John O'Hara, and Ian Anderson, founding member of the group, an old friend of mine. And it's interesting because there's a connection between Jethro Tull and Black Sabbath. I don't know if you know about, but for a minute, uh-huh. Tony Iommi was the guitar player in that band.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
When they did the Rock and Roll Circus with the Rolling Stones, Jethro Tull made an appearance. Tony Iommi is on that.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's a little history there.
No kidding,
man. It's amazing how incestuous bands can be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one guy's in this band, he's in that band. The family tree is a little bit crazy to follow
right.
on certain artists.
So much cross-pollinization going on, yeah.
Now,
that's cool.
For the most part, you guys have been pretty solid
uh-huh.
With your band. Now, you just made a change recently.
Yes.
But tell me about the change and the shift. You went from The Breed, as the mm-hmm. teen band we were talking about. You became Athel for a while.
Yes,
built
we
a
did.
Big following.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly you became Open Your Eyes. Now, you already had the momentum going as Athel. Why did you change?
Honestly, it was ultimately way too confusing. Our intentions with the name was to be unique and to stand out, and it became unpronounceable and just unusable, really. Like,
how could they mess that up? Athel.
Well,
it's five letters.
Right. Surprisingly, it was Athel. There's so many pronunciations. People would butcher it so bad that we decided, executive decision, we need to change this and make it more identifiable. And it has to relate more to us, you know, because Athel is a Greek word for noble, mm-hmm. and that really wasn't starting to sum up what we wanted to do.
You didn't feel very noble?
No, we felt more angsty and full of things to say. Mm-hmm. So Open Your Eyes just seemed like a perfect avenue kind of to travel down, but that's why we changed it. And honestly, I think everyone's way happier this way. So
at that point, it was more or less a new band, too, with the addition of two new members. It was just time to...
Now, Ryan, how long have you been in the group?
Probably coming up on, what, 4 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were approaching 4 years.
Were you one of the new members at that time?
I had joined right at the end, tail end of Othel, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I was part of the decision in naming Open Your Eyes, and it just, mm-hmm. it fit. That's our message. That's what we're going for. We
right.
literally want people to open their eyes.
Right.
But yet your acronym is OI.
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 Which I think of like bad brains or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it does have some sort of, I don't know,
it's
punk.
It's got that punk
connotation. Yeah. I mean, I think if all of us did not have the DIY mentality, I don't think this band would work. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to be willing to sleep in a car for months at a time and sell your CDs at shows illegally. Like you need to do things like that to know
disclaimer
what it's
here.
Like.
Write that on the record.
Nothing incriminating, but you know, yeah. And eventually you start getting invited to do things like that and to share opportunities to share your own music, and that's sort of how we got our start nationally.
Okay.
You know, was following tours around, selling CDs, building some money up, and coming home and you know spending it towards the band and doing all that. So.
Well, let's play a song and show the listeners what you guys are all about. You
Alrighty.
Both have acoustic guitars, and
sweet.
We're ready to go. What do you want to do here?
We're going to do If You Care. It's an acoustic track on a record.
Okay, and the album is called?
Truth or Consequence.
And it's out now.
Yep.
At your website.
Mm-hmm.
OpenYourEyes.com?
What is our current? We don't actually have a website.
Okay.
We have a big cartel that
we're on.
We're on
merch now.
Yeah, merch now.
Now.com. You
yeah.
can search
okay.
Open Your Eyes. Will pop up. Facebook, all,
right. all
the above.
All right.
I waited.
waited my whole life to write this tune. When I wake up in the dark, should I be scared? I feel a little different if you care. Yeah, we all fall down. Get my feet back onto the ground. Yeah, we all fall down. Never to be lost or be found. We all fall down. We all fall down. We all fall down.
We all fall.
We all fall down, down, down.
Open your eyes, we all fall down is the verse. And that's called If You Care, though.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, is that a newer song?
Yeah.
It's on a new album. Is that something you wrote recently?
It was actually written when I was 21, 26. So 5 years ago, it was an older piece, and we were kind of unsure of whether to put it on the record or not, honestly, because it's sort of a vulnerable piece of music, not something we were accustomed to doing in our younger years. It was a lot less heavy, a lot more... I guess revealing, but it feels good, and it worked on the record in the context of the rest of the 10 or 11 songs we had on it. So
now there's a line in there that stands out. It's waited my whole life to write this tune. Mm-hmm. And that said, mm-hmm. you have written a lot of songs for
yes.
being only a quarter century old.
Right. Yeah, I've that's been like my life's mission is just to write great music for people and sort of to help them understand, why they're here on this planet a little more, you know.
How did you start writing, and at what age?
You know, it's funny because I was a guitar shredder, and I never really wrote songs. I wrote riffs and music, but I became obsessed. You might not like this, but I became obsessed with Nirvana. and actually, Kurt Cobain sort of showed me the coolness of songwriting. After that, I worked backwards, went towards the Beatles. Always been a massive Zeppelin fan, so I love obscure arrangements and guitar solos and
odd time signatures.
Yes,
like
orchestrated guitar pieces, just things out of the ordinary. And so I feel like those two things blend. And when I write, it's the confluence of the Nirvana songwriting, the melodic Beatles side to it. And then you got like the obscurity of Led Zeppelin's, you know, the Rain songs, things like that, just mm-hmm. like weird pieces of music. And I really look forward to putting more of that on a record next time. So.
Now, when you guys were at the fair a couple of days ago, Kamran mm-hmm. and I were talking in the trailer mm-hmm. and we were talking about the songwriting process. And he said that you bring in almost all the songs, at least mm-hmm. the lion's share of them. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he's lucky if he can get a riff in or something. And he says, you know, he's learned a lot from you as a songwriter.
Uh-huh.
How does it work within the group? I mean, with you being the guy writing
right.
the songs,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do the other guys get parts? And Ryan, jump in on that. I mean, do you get a
yeah.
little freedom being the other guitar player in the band to
yeah.
say, hey, I want to do it this way?
Yeah, joining this band, I definitely was not a songwriter at all,
okay.
so to speak. And then, you know, working with Justin, we've had a couple, you know, writing sessions here or there. And, you know, I really have. It's if you work with greatness, you know, it kind of, you know, you pick up some tips and tricks. And he's always told me, he's like, yeah, it's about the bag of tricks. And I totally get that now. And so from upon joining this band to now, my songwriting skill has went from underground to up here.
Okay.
So I have a couple tunes hoping to get on, maybe one or two on this record. And then hopefully, eventually, we're probably going to maybe try and do like some splits where he writes half, I write half type dealio.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a big learning process. But mostly on this record, yeah, he's got a flash drive with, I don't know, what, 50, 60 songs mm-hmm. ready mm-hmm. to choose from. And I have maybe 4 or 5 to choose from. But yeah, no, we kind of come in this record that we're recording right now. We're doing it at home, and it's the first time we really haven't, I guess, not the first time, but typically we fly out somewhere, and
right.
We have a time limit and a time crunch, where now that we're at home, we're just spending way too much of our own money, and but it's good, because it's a good trade-off, because we get to really go in there and kind of write and change things, and
mm-hmm.
we have no producer, nobody telling us what to do, so it's kind of all on us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he'll come with this flash drive, and, you know, me and Kamran will be in here, and in the other room, so to speak, and just putting in, hey, I want to do this, or I want to change this, or how about this? And a lot of my guitar part stuff that I've been adding are a lot of, like, just the extra textures and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he comes up with the main melodies, and then, you know, Kamran obviously being the bass, you know, keeping it tight, and then me trying to just find more flavors to stick in the stew.
Right, and I think that's a lot of, like, when somebody brings a song to the table, a lot of the surrounding cast members around that new song, their biggest goal and job is to A, serve the song, but B, do it in a way that is not going to step on anything that the song has to offer that might say something, but almost give it just an extra element of where you make a moment, you know? It's mm-hmm. like, that's the band member's job, is to make more moments in songs. It's like, kind of, you know, like John Mayer writes great music, but without... You know, without certain key bass hits and certain drum hits and pauses and things, that song would be way less cool. So you need a surrounding member, cast members around the song to really make it something not you entirely. You know,
I should also say too that mine and Justin's style of music writing is just off the wall, completely different ball game here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it incorporates well, because, you know, he'll come and he'll have this idea, and then I'll think, you know, okay, well, what would he never do? What would he never think of? And that's kind of where I come in, where he's a more classic guy and I'm kind of a more modern guy, and I do a lot of MIDI stuff and engineering on my own, so I have like the producer mindset.
Mm-hmm. Are you recording on your own studio at someone's house?
No, actually at ABG Studios with Seth and Sam Henderson from Asteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Those guys have really come a long way
as far as
production.
Yes, they have. Absolutely.
Yeah, their studio is – they're attracting bands from all over the world right now, and they're killing it. They're doing absolutely great work.
Are they sitting in on any sessions? I mean, they're great
Sam
players.
Sam played drums on a couple songs. We had Ryan play drums as well on a track, and then we had his buddy Scott play drums. So we have three drummers in this album.
So far.
But it really, we wanted that to come out, as far as Scott is more of like a rhythmic god, if you will. So we wanted his swing and his feel to come out on mm-hmm. a few of the tracks. And then, you know, Ryan's a great drummer too, and he actually was a drummer before he was a guitar player. So, you know, for one of the tracks, we wrote at his house. Me and him kind of bounced some ideas and finished it out at his house one time, demoing it a couple years back, and he played drums in that track. It came out really good. And then we also have Sam playing on the new, it's actually T3. So we had Their Shoes, right? That was part one. And then Stay Alive was part two of that song.
Okay.
And now we have T3, which is the new updated version. So we're ripping ourselves off on that one.
Well, let's play another song, and then we'll talk a little more about the new album and what the future holds.
Cool.
What's this one?
What is this one? What was the next one?
2019?
That's the one.
That's
the
right. You're on top of it.
Yeah, so this is the last track on the record. Definitely the most classic rock song on the record, which I love. It feels like a 19, you know, like a Crystal Ball era Styx song to
me.
Very weird. Like, yeah, I love it. What would you think if I wanted to leave? What if I ask you to leave me alone? I'm sorry, but I'm doing all that I can to make you my only disease. Now I'm getting lonely and it's getting dark. Pitch black is the sky now. What if these days start to form into years? Would you be with me again? What if these years start to turn into lives? Would you still be with me? Well, if I had a time machine and I went up to 2019, would I still find you on my living room couch with your head on my chest as I scream today? Oh, 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 lives. Would you still be
guy with a little bit different philosophy. Oh, 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 oh. Have an ending, no exception to mine. I gotta go, I gotta run, I gotta get away, gotta get right out of here. I gotta run, I gotta go, I gotta get away, gotta run far away from here. Gotta cast my cares far, far away, and I'll get better day by day. Sometimes you just wanna leave, but something makes your mind believe. Just look at all the leaves on the trees in the fall. They change different colors for no reason at all. Look at all the people that are gone in my life. All beginnings have an ending, no exception to mine. Look at all the leaves on the trees in the fall. They change different colors for no reason at all. Look at all the people that are gone in my life. All beginnings have an ending, no exception to mine.
Good stuff there. That is Justin King and Ryan Steinberg, half of the Open Your Eyes group, and 2019, which really isn't that far away.
Nope, nope. So it seemed like so far away.
Your time machine only
it.
Needs a little bit of gas.
Right.
When is the new album coming out? You're working on it now. Is there a target date?
You know, it really depends on a lot of things that we're not sure of yet, yeah. Like which label we'll be signing with. And I think a lot of it is just like timing, you know, it's spiritual in some ways, just timing, things that you can't really predict. I would guesstimate, you know, maybe hopefully 6 months.
Okay. 6 to a year maybe.
Yeah.
We're definitely not trying to rush it.
We're trying to make it right, yep. Because if you want something to be great or better than great, you know, it takes time. And, you know, there's no amount of time that is too long, I feel like, to make greatness happen if you need to make it happen or if you feel like you can.
As a songwriter, mm-hmm. You were talking about how things have changed. You didn't want to put yourself out there so much, so revealing.
Right.
You're doing a lot of that in the new songs.
Yes.
when did that start, and how do you look at the evolution of yourself as a writer?
I think it started out as just like a sort of a fascination. It was like a true love, like a sincere. It's like, you know, meeting your wife the first time. It would feel, I would assume, a lot like that. It was just like an instantaneous connection. It was like, oh, okay, like this is a job, like a craft, a hobby. And I think that it's evolved from that fascination to an absolute intense and undying love to just make great music. So the evolution was pretty simple. And I, honestly, my mindset about songwriting is pretty simple. It's just like try to capture feelings that you can't put words on somehow with music, and then write it about something in your own life that really means something to you. Because I could never sing a song that I just didn't really mean or feel at mm-hmm. some point in my life. You know, I need to draw on it to be able to sing it properly. So that's the evolution. It's pretty simple, though. You know, it's like I like to keep things easy.
Are you road testing the new material yet, or is it something that you like to do to get out and play in front of an audience to decide if it's going to stick to the wall?
Actually, we typically don't do that. We usually just do exactly what we want to play. Okay. As a band. I kind of just take you know, like Ryan said, I had about 50, 60 demos. And they were pretty much fully fleshed out in my own way. I had like a drum program. I put drums on it, but you know, none of that really stayed in the final mixes. It's like all changed and all pretty much enhanced with the band. But Yeah, it starts with that, and then, you know, they kind of direct and they go, well, I like that one a lot, or I don't, that one's not going to work, you know, like, and then it's kind of more in their court. So I'm kind of like the guy that sort of I don't know.
Serves the buffet.
Yeah. But there's still the, like, they still choose, you know, right, too. Yeah. It's like, it's a group effort. It really is. So
now, when the band's not playing, you do a lot of solo stuff locally.
Yes.
Now, when you do that, are you showcasing your own originals? Or are you doing covers or a mix?
Occasionally, I do originals. I mostly do covers, just like a lot of Zeppelin, Beatles, stuff like that. Older stuff that I love. I really try to keep it as fresh as possible. It's tough, though, because I play four nights a week every summer. Like, since April, I've been playing four nights a week, and it's going to go till about October, and then it goes back to about 2 to 3 nights a week, but it's pretty much just, and then I play with a cover band too called Sticky Scissors. Jeff Blatherwick, cousin Dave Neely, he's been a part of that.
He's
too
been around for a long time.
Yeah jam with him. Dave Deering, great drummer, jam with him too. So they're great guys, and we you know, and then James Hamilton also plays drums in that group, but we have a great time, man. We have such a good time. It's more just like three-piece raw rock stuff usually, and then sometimes we'll play with Dave too, and Dave jumps in with us, and it's fun, man. It's just a good time. So I like playing all kinds of different types of music, you know, but that's right. Really rewarding.
Well, let's play another song now. Let's play a final song live.
Cool.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined long distance from California with Bridget Rios Purdy, a great blues singer. Justin, you're going to stay and co-host with me and talk songwriting with her. But let's do another Open Your Eyes song. Again, Ryan Steinberg, Justin King, live in the studio here on Lakeshore Public Radio and the Midwest Speech Show. What is our final song?
Final song's going to be Stay Alive. This is our biggest song.
Okay. This is on the new album, too.
Yes.
Truth or Consequences.
Well, I ran so far away, that I barely made it out alive. Imagine a world where we are one. It's doing its best to take me down. Well, I'm taking the time to run away, so colors and dreams bleed out the day. All my dreams were wasted for you. All these lines were written for the only thing that matters to me. Cut the cord and let the best come out. Well, I ran so far away that I barely made it out alive. Well, I ran so far away that I barely stayed away to survive. Yeah, I barely made it out alive. I'm taking the breath right from my life to get through the night and stay alive. Should I wake up or just let go? Well, I gotta hold on this time for you.
far away, yeah. That I barely made it out alive. Well, I ran so far away.
Stay Alive, new music off the Truth and Consequences album, and that is Open Your Eyes, and that's the live studio version that you won't hear anywhere else except right here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
That's right.
Which is another reason you need to support NPR and public radio, because we do cool things like bring young talent into the studio to play live just for you. I'm Tom Lounges. You're listening to Midwest Beat. Of course, the show runs on Tuesday nights as well as Friday afternoons. This is the extended daytime version. We get to a little bit more. Lots of extra guests. So in fact, we're going to bring one on in just a few minutes. She's calling in from California, Bridget Rios Purdy. She is an amazing young blues singer, songwriter. And Justin, you're into the blues.
Very much.
Are you
yes.
a B.B. King fan?
Oh, yeah.
All right. She wrote a song in tribute to B.B. we're going to get to in just a few minutes. But right now, we're going to play a song that was written by Willie Dixon, recorded by Muddy Waters, and made very famous in the rock arena by my friends Foghat. Now, I've had a chance to work with Willie over the years, booked him at the Point East, Muddy Waters, same thing, drank wine with Muddy. Lots of good stories with those guys, but we're going to play this brilliant young lady, Bridget Rios Purdy, and her take on a classic track, I Just Want to Make Love to You. Amazing young lady out of California, Bridget Rios Purdy, and while she's scheduled to be on the show this afternoon, I just got a text from her that there is an emergency, and she's not going to be able to join us, so we're going to have to reschedule. But pretty soulful stuff there, don't you think, Justin?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. I love the guitar tone, too, and the vocals. Everything was on point.
You're going to have to wait for her B.B. King tribute now.
Yeah.
We're going to reschedule a date with her. Maybe, you can come back in and join us and help me interview her.
Yeah.
We're going to bring Open Your Eyes back on to talk in just a few minutes, but right now there's another bunch of stuff that happened on this day in history besides Open Your Eyes being live on the air with us, which is, of course, going to go down the history books. On this day back in 1977, Sting, you may have maybe heard of him. He had a little band called The Police, a great little trio of new wavers. They made their live debut as a three-piece when they played at Rebecca's Birmingham Farm in England. And so this was the first day that they actually played live, The Police, back in 1977. And, 5 years ago today, in 2012, 60s pop singer Scott McKenzie died at the age of 73. Now, you might be saying, who's Scott McKenzie? Are you saying that in your head?
It sounds familiar to me, though.
All right. I'm going to sing something I don't do well.
Yeah.
Are you going to San Francisco?
Oh, nice.
Remember that one, old hippie song?
All right. Got you.
I will not sing any further.
I follow.
We'll tune everybody out. But San Francisco, Be Sure to Wear Flowers in Your Hair was his big single. He was a folk singer. And Scott McKenzie passed away 5 years ago today, 2012, at the age of 73. And, of course, in 1966, you know, we were talking about changing members in mm-hmm. Open Your Eyes. And sometimes you just come in at the right time, that magic moment when everything falls together. And that happened for Manfred Mann. Paul Jones, the original lead vocalist, had left just as their single Pretty Flamingo was climbing the U.S. charts.
Nice.
Well, he got replaced by a guy named Mike Diabo. And Mike Diabo took over the lead vocals in the band. And, of course, they had a monster hit with a Bob Dylan song called The Mighty Quinn. So we're going to play that because it was on this day in history that Mike Diabo officially became a rock star with Manfred Mann.
Everybody's gonna wanna doze. Come on without. Come on within. You'll not see nothing
Eskimo gets here, all the pigeons gonna flock to him. He must have a big bag of birdseed. Quinny Eskimo, a great song written by Bob Dylan, another of my personal favorites, and covered there very, very well by Manfred Mann. You know, you talk about cover songs, and my guests in studio, I've got Justin King and Ryan Steinberg from Open Your Eyes, and you were talking, Justin, about doing cover songs mm-hmm. when you play solo.
Yeah.
To me, the art of doing a cover song is to give it your own feel, your own identity, your own fingerprints. And I think that's a prime example. If you listen to Dylan's version, you listen to Manfred Mann,
right.
They popped it up, they hipped it up.
Yeah.
Dylan was kind of a dirge kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do you approach a cover song?
It's actually different depending on the artist. So, like, some covers, I really, really feel strongly about doing it faithfully to the original. And I don't like to use the word emulate, but... you know, some like Rush. When I do a Rush cover, I'm not looking to change. Like, I play Fly By Night live, or Zeppelin. You know, like Rain Song. Those songs really need to be played. I feel personally, like with pretty precise precision. But mm-hmm. you know, other songs, yeah, I love like Summer Breeze. You know, like all
Seals and Crofts.
Yeah,
wow.
I'll go ahead and play that.
Knock me off my chair.
Yeah, or you know, Change the World by 10 Years After. Mm-hmm. I play that too. And there's certain songs that yeah, you can mess up with a little bit. You know, as far as like mess around with the arrangement or play, you know, a lead here where it doesn't necessarily belong in the original song or whatever. But I like to keep it pretty close. I mean, I do like to put my own flavor on things like Blind Melon. Play No Rain.
That was a tragedy with Shannon.
I know, man.
Entertainer, songwriter he was to be cut so short.
And in Indiana too, you know, like a local boy. But yeah, that was a bummer. I'm a pretty big Blind Melon fan though, and I love pretty much everything Neil Young. I play a lot of his stuff. I love Harvest Moon tracks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Petty, massive fan. Saw him this summer.
Do other songwriters, like the ones you just mentioned that you're a big fan of, Shannon Hoon, Neil Young, Tom Petty,
yeah.
Do they influence your songwriting?
Yeah, in a weird way they do. I mean,
do you avoid that or do you embrace that?
I embrace it completely. Okay. I really try. It's almost like you want that kind of influence to come out. Open Your Eyes is at this kind of juncture in our career. We're more of like a... you know, we're coming out all guns blazing kind of band. You know, we're young and we're still pretty on fire for rock and roll. But I do see a progression at some point in our lives where, you know, we maybe put on an acoustic record, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's a huge part of what we all love in this band. And I'm sure it will come out at some point for sure.
Your original stuff, we had you play 2019 a little while ago. That's very classic rock rooted.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other stuff you have is more alternative, mm-hmm. Even alternative folk in a little bit of a way.
Right.
You have another song we're going to play off the CD so that the folks can get a chance to hear what the actual recording sounds like. Mm-hmm. And this one, of all your songs, has probably more of a pop feel, a pop edge.
Yep.
So you're kind of... What I like about a band is when they're not the same, you're not hearing 12 of the same song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That you do diverse.
Yeah.
You go from heavier to lighter to melodic to pop.
Right, right.
Does that confuse fans at all?
I don't think so. I really do feel like there's a straight line through our record somewhere. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, when you start in track one, you end in track 12, and it really is like a sampler platter of who we are at that stage in our career. But it's also first album for every band, man. You got to have a sampler platter almost.
Right.
You know, it's like you got to show people you're not just this one thing, and you insist on that, because if you get stuck in that box, in that neat box on the first record, and you're that band that does this one thing, then you're never going to be recognized or appreciated for doing other things a lot of times. You know, I've noticed that trend with bands, so... The first record was really like a huge conscious effort to make sure, okay, let's put, you know, the 2019 track that was actually written when I was 16 years old, you
mm-hmm.
know, so that was a 10 year, that song was 10 years old now. So I feel like that's a huge thing, is like sampler platter, you know.
Now, see, it's interesting because I come from the generation of the Beatles when they were in their heyday. I remember them when they were putting up new albums.
Yeah, yeah.
You, of course, have come down the road a ways. But uh-huh. when you talk about what we just did, about the diversification. You listen to an album like the White Album or mm-hmm. Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It goes from heavy to pop to nonsensical.
Yep, yep.
And yet they are considered some of the greatest albums of all time.
Yep.
So I think you guys are on the right momentum, the right trajectory.
Wavelength,
by doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's just my two cents.
I appreciate
Don't
that.
Change.
No, no.
Don't become the same song.
We won't.
Wait until album three. we're getting wild.
Yeah, I mean, okay. At some point, there's a hunger for a conceptual masterpiece. You yep. know, like...
Those were a trick bag, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta have your Dark Side of the Moon if you're any good band, I feel like, so...
All right, well, let's play a song again. In the studio with me, we've got Justin King, Ryan Steinberg. They are half of Open Your Eyes. We're going to feature a song right now off the album, and this one is called, I Lost My Place, Cast My Cares. Casting your cares away. Open your eyes and cast those cares away. That is the name of the band, Open Your Eyes. The song is Cast Your Cares Away. It's off the latest album, Truth or Consequences, now out at gigs and online. And two of the guys are with me. We've got Ryan and Justin from the band. And again, I think that's an anthem song.
Yeah.
You know, I can see the multitudes in the arenas pumping their fists and body surfing. Cast my cares away.
Right.
I just think it's a great tune. And again, not blowing smoke in any any private parts of your body, but I do really like this album because it's different.
Thank you.
And I hear a lot of music.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do.
That's great.
I am old, though. So
yeah, that means even more to me, though.
I don't know if your young following would agree with me on some of that, but you guys are actually going on tour.
Yeah.
No, you're going to be going to Mexico.
Yes, we are.
First time.
You're bringing your own water, right?
Yes, that's the goal.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Basically, it was some friends of ours, I Set to Kill, we toured with last year. We were on a couple tours with them last year, and they decided to invite us out. Cameron, our bass player, is playing with them. He's filling in with them right now.
Oh, so he's on the road. That's why he's not here.
He's in, like, Arizona, Texas, somewhere.
Somewhere right now. Yeah,
having a
West.
Good time, I'm sure.
Yeah. He's fun. He has a great time on the road.
Actually, too,
he's a party on 2 feet. I've never seen that guy
without
upset.
Without drugs or alcohol.
Yeah,
completely.
He's just at a natural high. He's always laughing, telling jokes.
Right?
Bouncing around on the stage. I've never met anyone like him. He's an interesting character to see. The least. Has he always been that way?
Yeah, actually, he used to. It's cool because he used to be kind of a little more quick to anger, you know.
Okay.
When we were real young, he had more of a temper, and he's kind of refined that into just goofiness.
Okay.
And so it's really working out.
Yeah. Goofy is the word. That's a great word.
No doubt.
You seem very zen yourself.
I try to be. I don't know, man. I try to just focus on my day to day and day by day, and then, you know, God is my king, so look towards that.
you've got the dreads.
Yes, I do.
That, to me, a lot of folks I've met that have worn dreads over the years, of Peter Tosh among them, are very spiritual people.
Yeah.
Do you have that inner glow about you that you like to radiate to people?
Yeah, I do like to project God's love on people. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I look more towards, you know, a lot of people look towards religion and that sort of thing. I think religion is actually darkness. I think that the love of God, though, is real. They're two separate things to me. I think that religion is a way to make money off of God's love.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's all in vain. I think that there's a lot of good things about it. I think that it teaches people beautiful principles. But I think a lot of it is unnecessary, a bit of a pony show sometimes. But yeah, I'm a very spiritual being in terms of attempting constantly and constantly working at it. It's a craft for me, you know.
See, a lot of my favorite musicians also have that. And yet they're all different deities and different, I don't want to say the word religion, but beliefs.
Right.
My favorite musician of all time is George Harrison.
He
was my first concert.
Uh-huh.
He was into the Eastern faith.
Yep.
That music touches me. When I'm depressed, I get my fix of George. If I have a bad day, I put on George.
Yep.
You know, and Bob Marley is another one.
That's, he's my go-to.
Three Little Birds.
Yeah, I'm a humongous, just in terms of how a musician on that level maintained the faith is astronomically beautiful to me. I love watching Marley. I have a documentary called Marley on him, and it's the best documentary I've seen in a long time. And it's really inspirational, you know. Like, he's one of those people that you were talking about anthems, like, you know, and Cast My Cares was anthemic to you. I mean, you can't really do it better than Bob Marley in that respect, to where you have an entire body of people unified singing, you know, every little thing's going to be all right. That's a beautiful thing to me to witness and watch. So, you know, that's a huge inspiration. Yeah, spiritual musicians. George Harrison's another one where, like you said, he got into the Eastern faith. And there's a documentary on him called Living in the Material World.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful documentary. And he was just an absolute guru in some ways.
Very much so.
It's hard to be in rock and roll and surrounded by the splendors of excess constantly and live that life. And those two musicians did that, and I respect that so much, you know. Look, and I aim to do it.
Well, you're on the right road, I'll tell you that. And again, how can people reach you online? We've got just a few minutes left. I want to make sure we utilize those guitars one more time.
Right, yeah. Well, we got our Facebook, and it's facebook.com/openyoureyesmusic. And what's our Instagram? Is it the same thing?
Open Your Eyes Music, yeah.
As well. So, those are pretty much the main places we put out information a lot of times. And YouTube, we have some videos up there, too. So.
And again, it's Open Your Eyes. Is there anything under the Breed or Athel still out there?
Yeah, actually. A lot
so if
of
they go
Athel
to any
stuff,
of those?
I wouldn't beg anybody to go look at it, but go look at the Open Your Eyes stuff.
All right, there you go. Well, let's play another song. And before we say goodbye, what do you guys want to do?
What are you feeling? Let's, we could go ahead and try Broken Road.
Acoustic? It's always a first.
Yes, gotta love live radio.
All right,
you're listening to Midwest Beat, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. Open your eyes, live in studio. Open Your Eyes. That's it for us. I want to thank my guests. Open Your Eyes. Justin King, Ryan Steinberg. Also earlier in the show, John O'Hara, arranger and keyboardist of Jethro Tull. They'll be in town at Chicago Theater tomorrow at 8 p.m. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you so much for supporting public radio and tuning in. Adios.